Peloton has been on a wild ride the last couple years. The company, which sells web-connected bikes and treadmills and puts on live exercise classes, has been a fitness fan favorite. And when the pandemic kept gym-goers at home, Peloton sales soared. The stock doubled and then doubled again. Time magazine called it one of 2021's most influential companies. Its instructors were even spoofed on Saturday Night Live.
Using patented passive aggression, each Peloton instructor will pull from a toolkit of emotional manipulation styles guaranteed to get even the laziest cyclist moving.
But with that success came challenges. The company had trouble filling orders. Sales growth fell, it slashed prices, and its stock plummeted. This week, Peloton's problems took a new turn. One of its investors called for the CEO to be fired and for the company to be sold. This swift reversal has caught many observers and investors by surprise. But for one columnist at the Wall Street Journal who's been skeptical of Peloton from the start, the company's fall has been vindication.
If you know that a product costs many thousand dollars and you know that not everyone wants to go for a run or cycle, then you know it's always going to be something that some people have and some people just have no interest in and other people just can't afford. That's just common sense.
Did you ever kind of doubt yourself, think you were wrong?
I do a lot, but not on this one at all.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Limbaugh. It's Tuesday, January 25th. Coming up on the show, Peloton's fall and the columnist who saw it coming.
This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Human achievement can be slow. 200,000 years to go from the wheel to your jalopy? Really? But today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply. When AI is everywhere, every process can be automated and accelerated. 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 UiPath, the AI everywhere foundation of innovation.
Our colleague Laura Forman spent years on Wall Street analyzing stocks. Now she writes for the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street column.
It's, if you haven't heard of it, a financial analysis column. We're here to do the math behind the scenes, talk to our sources, and give you recommendations, essentially.
So your job is to look into companies and tell readers if you think their stock is a good buy.
Right, exactly. Or sell, or whatever it may be.
So you're allowed to have opinions.
Yes, 100%. The opinions are welcome. And in my opinion, what makes the job so fun?
One company Laura has a strong opinion about is Peloton. Since the company went public in 2019, she's been a Peloton bear, meaning she doesn't think the stock is a good investment. And the core of her case is that Peloton's appeal isn't that broad.
This is a niche product and will always be a niche product. To be interested in Peloton, you have to love fitness. And that in and of itself eliminates a very large percentage of the population across the world. And then you have to have enough room for fitness equipment in your house. And then you have to be able to afford it. And then you have to want to buy it. That's a lot of things.
In its IPO filings, Peloton estimated that its U.S. customer base could be 45 million people. But Laura was skeptical, in part because Peloton's equipment was so pricey. In 2019, the company sold its bikes for over $2,000.
They basically said that anyone with a household income of over $50,000 was like a prime candidate for a Peloton bike. So I'm just like thinking like, you have to buy your phone, you have to pay for your rent, you have to pay for your food, you have to pay for your kids.
Peloton counters Laura's argument about affordability by saying that 8% of its U.S. customers in fiscal year 2020 were households that made under $50,000. But Laura wasn't just poring over numbers. she was also thinking about her own experience as a former competitive athlete. She saw herself as the kind of customer Peloton was trying to attract.
I happen to be, you know, a Division I college runner, so like I am one of those people. And I thought to myself, if I'm one of these people and I can afford a Peloton product and I don't have any desire to buy one, like that seems like a bad sign for this company.
In column after column, Laura was making her skeptical case against Peloton. But her argument wasn't reality. Consumers were buying Peloton's pricey machines, talking up its classes, and when the pandemic hit, Peloton's growth was turbocharged.
If you could design the perfect conditions for a Peloton story, like the pandemic were those conditions. You literally had like people receiving unemployment checks. So like they received government money, and you had people not being able to do any other kind of exercise. For a period of time, people were afraid to go outside. I remember in the very beginning, like you didn't know if it was like in the air. You didn't know if like the people across the street were gonna infect you. So like not only could you not go to the office or to a gym, people were scared to go out. And so the only way, literally the only way you could exercise was to do so in your house. So why not have a Peloton bike for those however many months? Like I understand for sure why people were interested.
Laura also says that the benefit of community on Peloton, especially in the context of lockdowns, was real.
The thing is, like, if you like exercise, it's awesome. The classes are amazing. People like the sense of community. You can compete against your friends. I actually do think there's some truth to, like, it helps you connect. You know, like the community aspect is pretty big. Again, especially with the pandemic where everyone was feeling very isolated and lonely, it was a way to like be with people again, even remotely, doing something you really liked. So I could see how that was very powerful.
Peloton benefited from those forces. In 2020, sales more than doubled. Wall Street analysts were bullish on the company, predicting ever higher stock prices. And investors piled in.
And now look at Peloton, way up.
Peloton continues to post gains, up about 30% this month.
It's a Wall Street darling. I didn't think any way in the world everybody could buy that many bicycles, but you know what they have, and the stock has gone straight up.
So Peloton's stock is soaring, demand for their products is super high, and you are holding tight as a Peloton bear. How did you feel at that time?
I felt completely, completely at ease and at peace, and I continued to write articles that were negative, basically pointing out what I thought was obvious, which is there are only so many people who like fitness, and there are only so many people who can afford to spend several thousand dollars on exercise equipment. So perhaps all of them are buying right now, but there will never be that many people sustainably new coming to the Peloton story. There just can't be.
After the break, Laura's vindication.
This episode is brought to you by Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, giving ambitious companies like yours the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
This episode is brought to you by Canva. It's time to ditch your old presentation programs at work and try Canva Presentations instead. It'll help you create stunning slides in no time. No design experience needed. Just start with one of the designer-made templates or generate something in seconds with AI. Then polish it up and get ready to wow your audience. It's that easy. Nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com. Design for work. Tap the banner to learn more.
By the end of 2020, Peloton was riding a pandemic high. It was worth almost $50 billion, and orders were flowing in for its bikes and treadmills. But all that demand was also causing problems.
Honestly, like, their biggest issue was just the influx of orders all at once. So suddenly, you had a company that, like, had 12, 13, 14-week wait times for the products because they were getting way more orders than they had planned for or they ever would have thought possible.
Peloton's equipment was manufactured abroad, and with supply chains snarled and new orders flooding in, it struggled to get the products to customers' doors.
They were getting complaints from people because, you know, people wanted to work out today and they had to wait months. So that became a problem. People started looking elsewhere at other competitive products, which is a huge threat to Peloton.
To solve this problem, the company decided to invest $100 million to expedite deliveries. It upped its manufacturing capacity and even started flying in bikes from overseas. It also acquired Precor, another exercise equipment maker, with its own U.S. manufacturing capacity.
Did it work?
It did work. It totally worked. The lead times were cut. I feel like now you can get a Peloton like in an hour. They've got the van outside my house ready to just put it here. Like they're so hopeful.
But just as Peloton was solving the problem of too much demand, it started encountering a new problem, not enough demand. Last year, vaccines became available, gyms started to reopen, and demand for Peloton's products began to weaken. So the company made a big move. It cut the price of its original bike by 20%.
Which was a huge price cut. So again, I told you, when the pandemic started, you suddenly had all the people on the fence who could afford a Peloton rush in and buy a Peloton. Then you had people who were interested in Peloton but couldn't quite afford it or just couldn't justify the cost. Dropping it by 20% was big. And I was actually looking at data that showed that was tremendously successful. There was a huge spike in sales.
Dropping the price of its bikes brought Peloton more customers, but at a lower price point. And increasingly, Peloton was having to advertise more to get those customers, which also cut into its profits. Suddenly, the growth case for Peloton, that there were tens of millions of potential customers, started to falter. And Laura's skepticism of the company began to look prescient. By fall, Peloton was warning investors that sales were slowing and that revenue for its current year could be 20% lower than originally expected.
Suddenly, they were missing estimates. They were missing forecasts. They talked about competition and potential slowing growth and how they were going to have to ramp up marketing. Just hearing these comments, like, the stock completely tanked because it was the first time where we're starting to see that maybe this can't go on sustainably forever.
And that's when Peloton suffered a hit that came completely out of left field. It started with HBO's recent reboot of Sex and the City, called And Just Like That. In the show's premiere episode last December, Mr. Big, the husband of the main character, Carrie, reveals he got really into Peloton during the lockdown.
I'm jealous of your Peloton instructor.
Well, you should be. You know, she's from Barcelona. She motivates me. And she's giving me a special shout out on my 1,000th ride.
And it's on that 1,000th ride that he has a heart attack.
And just like that, Big died.
And just like that, Peloton's stock price dropped. On the day the episode aired, shares fell by more than 11% to the lowest point in over a year.
This, to me, was like the culmination of just like everything that represented hype for the Peloton story. Because suddenly you've got a stock falling on a fictional character dying on your bike on TV. Like, for me, it was just like a sign that fundamentals no longer matter in the market. We're now trading on a television show of not even reality TV, like completely made up television show.
Peloton was surprised by the episode. It later said that HBO hadn't disclosed the broader context of the scene in advance for confidentiality reasons. And within days, Peloton fired back and came out with an ad featuring Mr. Big actor Chris Noth. But then that ad was pulled after Noth was accused of sexual assault. Peloton said when it made the ad, it wasn't aware of the accusations, and Noth has denied them. And then last week, Peloton's problems intensified.
Peloton is temporarily halting production of its products as first reported by CNBC.
In a confidential presentation, the company said demand for its equipment has taken a significant drop.
The company misjudged how many people would buy its products and is sitting on more inventory than it needs.
CNBC, citing internal Peloton documents, reported the company was planning to pause production of its equipment. In response, Peloton CEO John Foley said the information in the CNBC report was incomplete and out of context. He said Peloton was, quote, right-sizing production to adapt to seasonal changes in demand. He said the company is taking steps to improve profitability. Foley also mentioned the possibility of layoffs.
Last week was not a great one for the company, potentially one of their worst weeks just because of the sheer amount of news that came out. It sort of became like a pile-on. I remember answering a lot of investor questions late last year. Peloton was down so much, and they just wanted to know if things were going to recover in the new year. I was like, no, I really don't think so. Like, I think we've seen the end of the huge growth here. They now have a lot of problems.
Okay, so you are a self-described Peloton bear and have been since the beginning. You were always skeptical that the demand would be there. And so now it seems maybe you're right. How does that feel? Do you feel right now?
There was a period of time where I felt very right and vindicated, only because I really never received so much hate mail as I got, like, in sort of like the summer and fall of 2020. Then I just started feeling bad, honestly. Like, it was a cool company with an aspirational message, and the product itself was cool. It was a great niche product.
Do you think there's a way for Peloton to get out of this hole that it's in?
I think there's always like a chance you can turn around a business. It sounds like they're looking at basically taking away everything that they did last year. So potentially cutting down on their manufacturing so that they're producing less and they can focus on just what they have. They need to work on writing their margins before they expand, doing a great job with the customers they already have. So if they can do all of those things, cut some of their headcount, just really go back to the basics, if Peloton can come out and do that, then yeah, I think they have a chance. Like I said, it's a great product. It's just that it's not for everyone.
That's all for today, Tuesday, January 25th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Sharon Turlow. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.